Thank you, Mr. Tom. That was a good praising song altogether. All right. Let us go before the Lord. The passage is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 6, verses 6 through 12. But we're going to just read verse 8 this morning, and then we will study the one that is before and after this verse. Can we read it all together? Let's begin. Being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Very dear to us. Let us pray together. Lord Heavenly Father, we come to before you as we have praised you and opened our hearts, and we're ready to hear you, your blessing words that we really need for these days, Lord. And when we ponder upon your loving words, just touch our hearts and inspire us of the Holy Spirit, so we can just being strengthened our faith, and we'll be more faithful, Lord, in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we just read the verse 8, but previous verse talks about motherhood. Verse 6 says, though we could have made the command or the demands as apostle of Christ, we're talking about Paul and Timothy right here, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. And the verse that we just read, just like a mother is nurturing their own children, so being affectionately desirous of you means we have loved you so much. So we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, our own children, just like our own children, like a mother is nursing her own children. But now, our own selves, just giving you, offering you, not only the gospel of God, because you have become very dear to us. Because how we have loved you so much, just like mother. But come to the verse 11. For you know how much we have loved you, like a father with his children. It means father treating with his own children. The children of himself. So I'm emphasizing his own children, his own selves, the children of himself or herself. They have loved so much. How the father dealt with the children of himself. As we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you. Mother was nourishing her own children. Father, just like a father, is treating his own children with exhortation and encouragement and charging them. And that you just walk with the Lord, the worthy to the Lord. Yes, will of God. That is where we're going to focus on this God's word. So the theme is love you with our own selves, or with our own souls, with the souls. We talked about many things about how we love our neighbors. And this passage is more profounding, Wow, it's just offering myself. Well, that is a key thing As we read this passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So who are we talking about? Who are we talking about? Right here. Being affectionately desirous of you. We have loved you. Who are we? You. You. We were ready to share with you. With you. Who are them? Who are they? Not only the gospel of God, but our own selves, but also our own selves. Because you have become very dear to us. Who are we talking about this? You. You. That is the first thing that we want to discuss about. So, ready, it means, you know, think well of you. It means it's just to compound word. It's what it seems to be good for you. So that is what, how we are ready to. I think this is good for you. It's pleasing to give you, hear you. Share, ready to share. What does that mean, share? It means make it, you know, this the gospel of God is yours. I want to make this to yours, not mine. It, right now it's mine, it's yours. That is what it means by sharing. All for you, we are ready to offer you so a change of ownership can be produced in your whole life. It's yours. That's what it means by sharing. So what are we, Paul and Timothy, what they are sharing right now? It's not only the God's word that I'm preaching to you, that I'm teaching you to. That is not only that I want to share and make you your ownership, but hold my life. It's yours. It's yours. See? Just like a mom is their children's. Just like a father is their own children. So make ownership. Hey, you are my daddy. You are my mother. Just like we've been doing. Well, that's how we've been nursing you with God's word. Showing you what is God's word. And this is my you have watched me as my father, as your father, as your mother. You have watched me my whole life. It's yours. Now you can live your own life on your Christian life because how we have loved you. So we loved you. We loved you. We still love you. So how can you love others? Just like the way that we can love other people is to make an offer our own selves. Own selves. That's the whole key thing. That's how we interpret, how we understand this verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Now we know what it means. So we talked about, you know, Eastern culture and Western culture and our second generation, they all know different orientations, either collectivist or individualistic. But now they are bicultural. I want to go a step further, generation. So we have a great, great father, mother. We have a grand or grandmother and grandfather. We have father and mother and us. That is generation, right? So they were born at the same time. They were living at the same, about the same time. They were born and they grew up together. They go to the same high school and became adults. Young adult, and have their own children. That is lifespan for one generation. Some people measure like 15 years, or some people longest 30 years. But now it's kind of changing this whole culture. The whole world is changing so rapidly, and some people just 15 years is apart. Bible even talks about generations. Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 5 says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. The faith that you're honoring yourself, is not just yours. It just came down from a faith that dealt first in your grandmother, Lois. And you were talking about Timothy. Paul is writing this God's word. Timothy, your mother, Eunice. And now, this generation, it could be any generation, I'm sure dwells in you, Timothy, as well. So we can see the three generations right here. Let's see, the greatest generation, silent generation, boomer generation, like a baby boomers, like us here. X generation, Y, we mostly are referring to millennials, generation Z, zoomers, and next one, the little kids right now. Temporarily we call them alpha generation. So year 2013 to 2025 is alpha generation. 1997 to 2012 is Gen Zoomer. They are about 11 years to 26. Millennials, 1981 through 1996. Gen X, they are 43 years old. What, 58? Through 58. They were born in 1965 throughout 1980s. Boomers like us, ages between ranges between 59 through 77. Most of the people retired. Some of them are about to get to the sunset status. 1946 through 1964. The silent generation, 78 through 95. They were born through 1928 through 1945. Well, alpha, they are most likely they are living with a single parent household. Generation Z, they have a tablet. When they grew up with tablets, cell phone, all gadgets, computer thing. Millennials, they went through the 9/11. Wow, and they were born with that all internet, all the informations. Then X, they grew up with AIDS epidemic and the MTV culture. Boomers like us, right after Second World War, World War II, right after that, this just parents coming back home, and there was all population was exploring. There are so many people after that, and the post-war, that there was a silent moment, silent generation. They were through that, and they have fear of communism sweeping all country, around the country. We all see that the great-grandparents and grandparents and parents and their own generation, who will be the most depressed generation? Wow. We found out that Generation Z, ages 15 through 25, they're young people, teenagers, and young adults, including. They were the most depressed generations. So they felt like they were anxious, 61%, 42% they were depressed, and 18% they wanted to have a thought of, it's better off die. Which generation is the most stressed? Yes, same like Generation Z. They are stressed about high rates of suicide, and they have problems with all kinds of relationships because due to this COVID-19 pandemic and change to they saw the changes to the abortion laws, and it make them stress. There are so many sexual impurities, All kinds of things that make them so stressful, according to American Psychological Association. So all generations have a distinctiveness. We all grew, you know, depression, but they are the most vulnerable for this kind of issues. We all go through these difficult times, but they are the one worst case. And what we are thinking about, we have to know who we're talking about. We love you, we love you, we love you with our own selves. If we want to offer our own selves, we have to know who we are talking about. We have to know our children and our young adults and teenagers. What are they going through these times? Then they're really stirring up our hearts to, yes, I want to, you know, do a good thing. I want to live my life, meaningful life, to help these kids. But who would be the, which generation would be the smartest one? Wow. And they are the funniest people too. They are the one, Z generation, compared to any other generation. Yeah, boomers, baby boomers, they are funniest too, but they are the most. But which generation is the poorest one? I mean that when they were in the workforce, they had, you know, so many, the worst, you know, recessions and the pandemic is going on, and the highest, inflation period, we see that. And they are the one, they have a credit card debts. Oh, you see the very bottom of that graph? Yeah, millennials are the one, they are having so hard time. It's kind of hard for them to afford to buy their own house too. If they have a mortgage, they have so many debts too. So we see that, who are we talking about? Millennials. What are they going through? What is the hard time? But they are the one most educated. Because they when we see that people, I mean, I don't know why it's not there. They are the most people that has went to the high school, college and second year community college. They are the most educated people. I don't have that slide. Okay. Let's talk about baby boomers. Wow, this is a me generation. Somehow, there are many other generations having difficult time as their marriage problems. But we had the most that we got divorced, yeah, in our generation, the baby boomers. And it's still going on. But they are the, wow, they are the wealthiest generation. Ooh, the baby boomers generation is the one. Because we had a good time. We had so much opportunity. It was kind of a dream come true. Yeah. And we are the wealthiest generation compared to any other generation. We had so many good jobs out there. Yes. I come to this point. Wow. Who are the happiest generation? Baby boomers, ages 60 and older. You know, you see the U-shape, you know, 18s and 20s, they were so happy moment, but it goes down, it dropped down till the 40s. But that's the point, in the middle-aged adulthood, and they just kicks back, and going up. They're getting, why are they getting older? The physically, really, we're really challenged. And the condition is not that great. But come to the point where we realize that this life is so meaningful. We don't want to waste our life. So they love taking care of their own grandchildren. And they have spent time to in the nature, and they're traveling on the whole world, in the United States. And just, you know, just being with the bodies, old friends. They have ample time to enjoy the life. Because we have learned how to deal with this disappointment, or this disability, or lose loved ones. Anything happens, but we know how to handle all that. Because we learned for our whole life. That's why we are living on in the happiest moment right now. We're not, you know, we have accomplished so much, but now it's that our focusing on others. Wow, I want to help them. I really want to help them. Because I want to live my last page of my life, you know, so meaningful to me. So that is why we is the happiest moment compared to any other generation, except the 19 or 20s, the young people. Now we know who we're talking about, who we are loving. We know who to love. Who are we? Our neighbors. So we know who we are to love them, and now how we to love them. Like a father, and like my mother. That's what I have read on. So just love your congregation, your neighbors, with not only spreading the gospel of God, not just teaching them, instruct them, but give them your own selves, just like your own children, just like your own children. Just love them. Love them. The key word is nourishing them. Nourishing them. Taking care of them. Just like a mother. Just like a father. Treat them with respect. Just like your own children. We have so many youngsters coming to this church. And there will be more coming. So we have to get ready for anyone who's coming to our community of faith, in the community of faith. So, love you like a mother nourishing their own children. Love you like a father treating their own children. According to Message Bible version, it says, exhorted, holding their hands. Holding their hands and encouraging them, whispering, just, yes, you're doing good. I love you, man. This is the way you do it. You know, I'm going to show you this, how to live, you know, the godly way, showing you step by step how to live well before God. That's how we treat all our neighbors like my own children. My own children. This is Paul is saying. God is inspiring him to how to live our lives. How to live our lives. A faithful life. This is how we do it. This is how I have lived my life. Paul and Timothy, this is how we've been doing it. And it's telling all those congregation and the church called Thessalonians. Thessalonica. Not only like a father, not only like a mother, you know, just like they're just like a spring, right? They loved us like a water is welling up and flowing to their own children. You know, my Esther came back home yesterday, and the first thing that she wanted to tell us is that, Mom and Dad, I don't want to do anything, just serve me. I'm at home. I'm free. Mom, I would just, can you cook me for this Korean food? Yeah, I want some kimchi. Yeah, I want your mother's food, you know. Daddy, how you been doing? Well, I see that you needed some desk. Can I buy you something? You know, see that she's enjoying being home, at home. And she expecting that the mothers and fathers love just welling up and flowing in to this whole, you know, the kitchen area, home, you know, wherever we go together. That's what she is expecting. That's love. That's love, just like water. John chapter 4, verse 18. Whoever drinks of the water that I, Jesus Christ, will give him will never be thirsty again. Why? Why never be thirsty? You don't have to drink the water. I already gave you living water. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water which itself is welling up to eternal life. Not just welling up. John chapter 7 verse 38 says, whoever believes in me, the living water, that Jesus said, out of his spring, the heart will flow rivers of living water. That is how mom and daddy love their own children. It's flowing like water. The love is like water. Once we become a child of God, we have living water. We're never going to be thirsty because it just produces love coming out of heart. So that is what life is about. That is what life is about, just giving. Wow, it's just like not, the Bible is not saying that, you know, we have to get more and more and more. It says you are calling to give yourself, not give your money, not only the gospel of God, but our own selves. Ourselves. So you don't have to do a spring, because you are springs and fountains. Yes. So when is the moment that you, the water is so happy? Make it stream, flowing, and go to everybody, anywhere. The water goes everywhere, spreading the love, spreading the love. So we can stay clean, healthy water, fountain, and spring, and life-giving. That will make happier and happier for baby boomers, like elders. Wow. So, I kept emphasizing these two phrases. What? We know whom are we to love them, and we know how to do it, and what? With what? With what we have to love them? Love you like hand over, not to hide yourself behind the gospel of God. The message, your words, your instructions, don't be behind of that, but hand it over. Hold your whole life. Show them who you are, what you made up with, how God has blessed you, your life. That's the key thing. That's the one that we are giving up. See, not only the gospel of God, but also our own self. Not only the message we are delivering to them, you yourself, you are the messenger. Show them your life. Not just your words, but your whole lives. Whole lives. We don't have to talk about Korean word. We don't have to talk about the word second. Well, how God has loved us, that's the whole thing. Like a mother and father loving their own children, just like water is welling up and it just want to spread, flowing like a river. That's what we are about to give them. We have to know what we're going to give. What is the love like? So always it was so worse. But now our lives. I mean, we have knew this kind of concept, but we just go deeper with this God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, this is what it's all talking about. Yes, that's it. That's it. Now come to the point that we really have to, you know, we study about the God's word, the historically what has happened, but currently, all those generations that we have studied right now all come together. Now, what is it? Now, what are we going to do with all this data that we have? We learned great, great, great things. Now is the point that faith can be passed from generation to generation. But we need friendship and discipleship. Like we are, you know, make them, you know, nurtured, and they make them, you know, just grown-ups. But we need this love, friendship. Without that, it's kind of hard to do it, right? Jesus Christ taught me how to love because there was a friendship, there was a relationship. So I can be a disciple. I can be a child of God. But that can be possible from generation to generation. Because that's the key point that we're talking about this morning, right? Not, you know, not like the previous, you know, Sundays. Eastern culture or Western culture. Now we come to the generations. Because we're all together in this, under the one roof. As I have read, the faith came from grandmother to mother and me and us. Now, we're still in the midst of COVID-19 with many variants. Our generations that went through the same difficulties, 9/11, terrorism, and the worst recessions, global pandemic, racial upheaval, and political unrest, still going on. All the news is talking about political unrest, soaring inflation, and rising interest rates. I don't know, it's going to go down, it's going to stop, it's going to go make a big jump, a step more. With this kind of current situation, we found out, so what? What do we do? How are we going to live our lives? Bible said it, you know, you have to give your own selves. Now, the America, they're open to Christianity, spirituality. 77%, I believe in God, or higher power. 74%, I would like to grow spiritually. They're open up because they went through so many difficult times. I need help. Americans, they have open, wide open. 44%, I am more open to God today than I was before the pandemic, before 2019. I don't really, really concern about, you know, spirituality, but went through these 3 years, well, it comes to the point, oh, I can't deal with this. I have to do something. We have asked about 2,000 people, U.S. adults. It was, you know, this recorded, this it was reported back in 2022, at the end of October. That was the time they had a survey. Well, you can see about, you know, 50 plus 30, well, about 80%. Wow, 80%. They're a sign of hope. They are seeking for spiritual or the supernatural dimension. They're really seeking for God out there. They believe God exists. And most of all, teenagers are very wide open. That's the point. Teenagers, they are very, compared to any other generation. And most of all, adults, you know, young adults, middle-aged adults, you know, the older adulthood, we all are open to God, especially teenagers. Now, they are wide open. Not only that, the parents, believers or non-believers, 73% of U.S. parents, they are so concerned about their own children, teenagers and children. their spiritual development. This is a great opportunity. This is a great opportunity. Baby boomers, we want to do something meaningful thing. We do, we do. X generation, X millennials, young adults, we need to help each other. We need to help each other. We're going to meet all together. We're going to need of us 40 volunteers, young adults and youth all together. We're going to have vacation Bible school. Oh, it's so exciting. It's so exciting. But not only that, Generation Y, millennials are coming back to church. Millennials, 21 years old to 39, before 40s. And even Generation X, you know, they're growing up. Boomers are about, they went up at the same rate. So increasing millennials' weekly church attendance, as you can see, we have asked, you know, 13,349 people ask about this. This is strange. Wide open, parents are really concerned about, and people are coming back to church. There is God. There is God. I'm seeking for this God's help, supernatural God's help. Yes, we're going to have a retreat, youth and young adults, this coming Sunday, I mean this summer. Now, as I mentioned, friendship. We can't make a discipleship unless we have good friendship. They're all talking about, you know, we have to encourage each other. Let's, you know, grow spiritually. That has been increased. And historically, Paul is telling them, you know, I have loved you so much, and you go south and help each other. You need to do that. That is the whole passage. Paul is encouraging everybody. Yes, to that next generation. As you can see, Generation Z is the highest. Strongly agree that friends should challenge each other to grow spiritually. And parents are really concerned about children's spiritual development too. That's why we said friendship and discipleship is so needed this time, currently. What does that mean, discipleship? You mean Bible study? Yes, yes too. And even Paul said, not only gospel of God, but also our own selves. What is own self in discipleship? Provide a meaningful, growth-oriented friendship. That is to share with all generations with our own selves. That's a discipleship. Confront loneliness, those all distressed generations. There's a lonely generations, the depressed generations. Only thing that we can help is to share with them, with our own selves, so they don't feel like they are lonely. Show love and care for others. In short, Christians have many reasons to expand their social, spiritual life. Friendship and discipleship. Social, spiritual life. We need to expand. We need to expand. We need to expand. This is the whole thing that I studied. I said it. Zen Z, most depressed, stressed, but they are the smartest generation. Millennials, they went through so many economic turmoil while they were in our workforce. But still, they need help, money-wise. But they are most well-educated people. They are smart, and they're good people. They want to learn more. Baby boomers, we are the me generation, but we are wealthiest and happiest generation. So how all these generations can mingle together and show how God is marvelous, how mighty, how loving God. How can we show this all together? It's right in the middle. It's wide open. Parents, are they really seeking for God's help? Now we are ready to help them make friendship and discipleship. That's how we love you with our own selves. Our own selves. Wow. Bible said 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. What you have heard from me, Paul, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men, next generation, who will be able to teach others, next generations also. So not only receiving the gospel from the previous generation ahead of us, but also passing down to next generation. There we can see Paul is throughout all his letters is talking about this. Don't hold on to the gospel and the gospel love on yourself, but we have to give them. But there's other one for young generations. If a widow have a children or a grandchildren, there's a three generations. Let them first learn, all the young generations, you have to learn to show godliness to their own household and to take and to make some return to their parents, grandparents, or parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. So we help each other, younger or older. We're all throughout this old generation. We have to love each other with our own selves. With our own selves. Let us all pray before God. How beautiful these generations are. Wow, it's so, we are surrounded by this different generation with so much enriched experience. And God is about to bless us. Wow, 2023, we realize that after this all 3 years of this pandemic, wow, this has come to point. Now, well, we didn't know what is going on, Lord. Why we have this pandemic, this whole world wide? And this is not only the United States. It's throughout the whole world. All teenagers are so open to gospel that Jesus Christ is influenced in our life. That is their testimony. This is not only the U.S. The whole throughout whole service that's whole throughout the whole world, because this is pandemic has affected the whole world. Our youngsters, Lord, we're planning something because there's a great opportunity. There's a hope in us, Lord. Lord God, that you brought this turmoil turn into a great blessing, Lord. Lord, let us as a church, as a community of faith, Lord, we want to love. We can show what is really love is about. So Lord God, thank you. You have loved us so much. You gave your own life for me, Lord. You died for me, Lord. Oh, so I want to show that how your love is so great. And just stir up my heart to show them how I can make all those people happy and meaningful life, Lord. You have inspired us. And Holy Spirit, just be with us throughout this whole week. Think about, you know, all generations, Lord, how much we love these people, Lord. Thank you that you love me with your own selves. Die on the cross and give me a living water. Now it's time for me to be a rivers of this living water, Lord, so that I can enjoy and just see your beauty in my life. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.